Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In opposition to the kalima, there comes takabbur. We were speaking the last few days about takabbur. إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. So this comes very clearly in this verse. إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. They are asked to say لا إله إلا الله, then pride has the better over them. Arrogance becomes an obstruction, becomes a hurdle that prevents them from reciting the kalima. So we understand that like kufr and disbelief and shirk is opposed to the kalima, then pride and arrogance also is an impediment against the kalima. It comes on the way. It's a blockage, it's an obstruction. So one of the ways to treat this pride and arrogance is the sincere recitation of the kalima. The greater the sincerity, the greater the impact it will have on the heart. The heart will be more affected. Words also have an effect. People feel that words don't have an effect. Bu Ali Sina was called, he is a physician, state physician, so he was called to see the prince who had some severe stomach ailment. So he is diagnosing and he's trying to work out what treatment should be in process. In the meanwhile, one buzurg of that zamana, he is also called. So the buzurg is reading something from the Quran Sharif and he's blowing onto the patient. So Bu Ali Sina says, what is this? Choo 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 and dum and you're making all this. What are you doing? So the buzurg says, you're stupid, you're senseless thing, there's no brains. And he's saying it in the presence of the king, prince and everybody. Bu Ali Sina, he can't now respond and he can't say anything because of the presence of the king. But his face is turning red. So in the meanwhile, the buzurg read something and blew on the prince again for the second time. And then again he looks at Bu Ali Sina and says, you donkey, you ass, you're good for nothing. You still can't understand. Now he's becoming more and more overcome with anger. Then he blew onto the patient for the third time. And when he blew for the third time, so Bu Ali Sina is becoming more and more furious. Now this buzurg is asking, Bu Ali Sina Sahab, what's happened? Why are you getting so angry and why are you not cool and calm? Why are you getting so overcome with anger? So he said, why mustn't I become angry when you're using such insulting words against me, some such derogatory words against me? So now he says to Bu Ali Sina that they are only words and words can't affect a person. You know, at the beginning Bu Ali Sina was saying that these are words, you are reciting some words and you're blowing onto this patient. And words cannot be a treatment. Words cannot be a treatment. When they cannot be a treatment, then you blowing onto this person here, how will it treat him? You said something, it's got lost in the atmosphere, it's gone, finished. There's no existence of it. So you red something and you're blue on this person here, how can that act as a treatment for this prince? So that was the argument of Bu Ali Sina, Avicenna. So this Buzurg says now, these were just words that I had mentioned to you, ass, you donkey, good for nothing, senseless thing. So why did you send, how did he send you up in such a frame of anger? You turn red and blue, and you're furious about the whole thing, your whole body is shaking, is shivering with anger. If words can't do anything, then how you got your body shaking like this? And how you turned your body like an inferno, like a red fire? In the meanwhile, the Buzurg read for the fourth time, and whatever in ailment this youngster had, that he came out as diarrhea, his stomach got cleared up and he was relaxed. So these words also have an effect. You know, when you say words, words have an effect. But just that we cannot understand the relationship. Furthermore, Thanvi Sahib once got ill, so he sent his urine to the doctor to check it, to have it checked out. The doctor checked the urine. He said, how can this person be alive? According to how I read this, this person is supposed to be dead long ago. Now, the khadim came with a message from the doctor that this is what the doctor says. He says, Are bewakuf, is this something to come and mention to me? You're supposed to come mention this to me. Right? I'm the patient. Are you coming to mention this thing to me? So what the doctor said that's his duty, but you're not supposed to come and relay this to me. So the khadim is asking now, but then how do I overcome this? So you overcome this in this way, you go back to the physician right by his surgery, and you come back to me, and then you must say that, no, the physician says that everything is right. So this khadim is saying, but this is just a movement, I'm going there and coming back. And how does this overcome the situation? You just do what I'm saying. This has a psychological effect. Words have an effect, right? And because we cannot understand the relationship in words and the effect that goes with it, therefore we come to the conclusion that it doesn't have an effect. But really it has an effect, right? That word and the effect, there is a relationship. You're saying that La ilaha illallah, right? Your heart gets affected. Don't you see sometimes the Imam Sahib is reading namaz with a little bit more khushu and khuzu, with a little more attention, and you feel like crying. Don't you see that? And sometimes you just give a shriek. So that word is having an effect on your heart. That word is having an effect on your heart. Sometimes it is a singer, and he's singing in a very high pitch. If the pitch is very high, you can get a heart attack. Now, what is the relationship? So there is a relationship between the word and the listener. There is some definite effect. I mean, see, the world will come to an end, right? The world will come to an end by what? Just by sound. وَنُفِقَ فِي السُّورِ. So sounds, words have an effect. It's word. One engineer was here in the masjid, so he's telling me that they're trying to work in modern day warfare. They're trying to come out with new systems to fight. What systems? You know, they just by sound. By sound, they want to kill and destroy the enemy. So I asked him, how do they achieve that? So no, they already do that. I mean, says when they want to test out a singer, how powerful a singer is, he is in the studio, right? And the studio is covered with glass. So they want to see the pitch that he's singing at. The pitch that he's singing, how sharp his voice is. According to the strength of his voice, the sharpness of his voice, you'll get some of the glasses in the studio shattering, busting. So you understand that this person is a very good singer. That the glass is also affected with his singing. So sounds and words definitely have an effect. Right, they definitely have an effect. The child is crying, and the mother sings a lullaby, yeah? Something to to sleep the child off, and the child sleeps off. So don't you see that relationship between the child sleeping away and that lullaby, that words that are sung to the child? So it has an effect. To feel that it doesn't have an effect, that's wrong. But similarly, this word, this kalima, la ilaha illallah, it definitely has an effect. And the greater the effect, when the ikhlas is great, the greater the ikhlas, the greater the sincerity, the greater the effect on the heart. The heart will be affected. It will melt down. That elements of pride and arrogance that were acting as an impediment, they will be washed down, they will be broken down. But that kalima has to be recited in abundance. Recite it, and recite it with sincerity. Recite it with a pure heart. Recite it with the frame of mind that Allah is listening. And I'm negating all the false deities. When you say deities, in other words, anything that is distracting you from Allah Ta'ala, you are negating it. Anything that turns you away from Allah Ta'ala, you are negating it. The more you negate it, you'll find the effects of illallah are penetrating into your heart. They are penetrating into your soul. La ilaha, everything that is against Allah Ta'ala, everything that turns you away from Allah Ta'ala, you're turning it away. I don't want you. Anything that is turning you away from Allah Ta'ala. When you say turning you from away from Allah Ta'ala means turning you away from Allah Ta'ala's obedience. Right? Turning you away from Allah Ta'ala doesn't mean your own wife and children, no. It means anything that turns you away from the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, you are moving it away. La ilaha, I don't want you. Anything that is turning you, that frame of mind, no matter how tempting that may be, no matter how appealing that may be, but the fact that it is turning you away from your beloved, you are turning it away with la ilaha, la ilaha. And then you are trying to instill and insert illallah, the love of Allah Ta'ala, into your heart. Allah Ta'ala is all, Allah Ta'ala is my goal, Allah Ta'ala is my objective. It is He I live for, it is He I die for, right? So this illallah is being penetrated into the heart. Now the more you do this, and the greater the sincerity you do this, you will find that the effect of la ilaha illallah will be filling your heart up. And as it fills your heart up now, you will find that good is coming into you. You are taking a dislike, you are averse to wrong. See, some of the people that are more simple, right? Simpler people. In Afghanistan, people in many towns, they aren't educated. But the kalima and la ilaha illallah is deeply rooted into their hearts. Right. Partly because of their ignorance, they are involved in wrong. Right. They're doing certain wrong things, they don't know about it. It's not that they're doing it willfully, and because they like to do it, but because of ignorance. But overall, by and large, the kalima is deeply rooted into their hearts. So for some vice that they are committing, sometimes they are killed. And in one zamana, they used to be killed, they used to be taken into a cannon, you know, and the cannon is shot. So these people, when they shoot the cannon, then the man's whole body is shattered into pieces. That cannon is so powerful that when they shoot it, you're inside the cannon and they're shooting it, so your entire body is broken into pieces. The reported incidents of Afghanis, though they were criminals, but iman is deeply rooted into their hearts. Says when he is being ascended into the cannon, you can hear him reciting La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. And when that cannon is being shot, and his whole body is shattered and broken into pieces, hand is one side, the head is one side, clearly, distinctly, you can hear Muhammadur Rasulullah, La ilaha illallah, and Muhammadur Rasulullah. So the iman is very deeply rooted into their hearts. Though sometimes because of ignorance you can't see the effect of that kalima. So the more you recite this kalima, you will find that it will enter into your system. It will permeate your entire existence, everything. Then you are saying, you are practicing la ilaha illallah. Your conduct is la ilaha illallah. Your behavior is la ilaha illallah. You're dealing with people, la ilaha illallah. Whatever you are doing, there's la ilaha illallah. That what was acting as an impediment, that pride and arrogance, that has been washed, it has been broken down. So as much as you can, as much as one can, you're going to work now, for example, simple ways to achieve these things here. You're going to work, right? recite that kalima, la ilaha illallah. Instead of putting the radio, listening to the news now. If you don't listen to the news, the latest bulletin, you're not going to die. And no policeman will catch you also, inshallah. They won't catch you for any criminal offense. But Allah Pak also, you will be gunegar. So now you're going to work, 10 minutes will be gone in your traveling. Couldn't you recite two tasbihs of kalima, la ilaha illallah? Easily from your house to your workplace, 200 times kalima, la ilaha illallah. You read comfortably. Just do it with sincerity. Allah Ta'ala, with your grace, remove all this dirt, all these obstacles that are on my way. All those things that don't concern me, things that are coming on my way, obstructions, Allah Ta'ala, remove that. Illallah, Allah Ta'ala, grant me your love. He says, kya tujhse mohabbat ho gayi, puri duniya se dushmani ho gayi. Kya tujhse mohabbat ho gayi, puri duniya se dushmani ho gayi. When I entertain your love, O Allah Ta'ala, then the whole world I am averse to. I don't want the entire world. Ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. This is everything. Sab tamannaye rukhsat ho gayi. All the desires and aspirations and recognition, you know, all that has gone out of my heart. Sab tamannaye rukhsat ho gayi. Ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. Now, O Allah Ta'ala's love, you enter into my heart. Because all that aspiration, the dreams, all those are gone out of my heart. I want your pure love. So you recite that kalima with abundance, but recite it with this frame of mind. Right? You're going to work, returning from work, recite that kalima again. The wrongs that must have taken place in the time of the work, duration of the work, now you're reciting the kalima, the more you're reciting it now, you are washing out all that evil. Right? You're washing out that evil. All types of people are coming in your shop, in your business, in your practice. All types of people are coming. Sometimes it's a woman coming, sometimes it's a man coming. And all types of people are coming. Right? And you need to wash those effects out. Right? People are coming with bad intentions, good intentions. Sometimes there are women that are coming, and they are leaving discreet messages. Yeah? Right. Someone will come and tell you, I'm going through a divorce process. But why, Appa, I'm a chacha here. Why did you have to come and tell me that you're going through a divorce process? What was the hikmat behind that? You have to ask that Appa, that I'm a chacha. Now, what was the need? What was prompting you to tell me this? That you're going through a divorce? Simple now, they want friendship, additional friendship they want. So they have to come and tell the chacha. The chacha looks nice now, and he doesn't seem to be very cheeky and all that. So, tell the chacha, you know what, I'm going through a divorce, and I'm looking for friendship. Right? So all this nonsense will sit inside your heart. Right? All this nonsense, as we're going into materialism, going more and more into this direction, more of the dunya will come. And more of these fitnas will come. Right? This woman will become more and more free. When they become free, then they want some companion, they want something to fulfill their lust. Right? They can't get it the right way, the halal way, because the halal way has got responsibilities. You become a wife, you become a mother, you've got responsibilities. Haram way, you've got no responsibilities, right? So they want freedom. But they can't get it the halal way now, they're looking for it haram ways. But now you go for it in the haram way, then at the expense of your own family life. Your wife doesn't now have the respect for you. Your children, they see your behavior. And they also concern, now get this man here, our father, my husband, he's looking for attention elsewhere. We can't have the respect for him. So the children lose respect for you, your wife loses respect for you. Right? And you are gone in a different direction. Now your hard-earned wealth was supposed to be enjoyed by your wife and your children. Your wife and your children don't enjoy is an additional friend that you got. All that has been taken by that person. So your wife was slogging all these years for what she was working. You don't have that appreciation for her. You don't have the respect for her. You don't have the consideration for her. For a little bit of your lust, and all that money is going to this person here. All that wealth of yours is going here. So now you have to keep reminding yourself of La ilaha illallah. Say La ilaha. All that false temptations, you are washing it out, you are flushing it out. Imagine that to be sewage, what? All those other people, this woman, wrong things, haram things that are coming in your way, like sewage. The Buzurganadin, they can actually see it. They can see that filth that is hovering your heart, they can see it, that stink, that stench, they can see it. That it's such a bad stench in you. They can see it, therefore you sometimes they have to just move away. Because they can actually sense it. This person has got stench, he's got dirt and he's got filth. Right? So, especially when you're coming to this Buzurganadin, coming to the masjid now, you've got that free time. Why do you need to listen to the news? You won't listen to the news, you will listen to some nazam. Right? The nazam also, what fayda is going to bring to you? In a motor car, you'll be sitting and listening to the nazam, and you'll find that your finger is going like this. Right? Your feet movement is moving. Right? You're not going to get anything out of it. Your leg movement is, you can make leg movements, your hands are going to hit like this. You're not going to get anything, you're just doing it for entertainment. So you're not going to get anything with that nazam, you're not going to get anything with that news. And bayan also you can listen, but you can listen to a certain extent, your heart is taking. Half an hour, 20 minutes in the day you listen to one bayan is enough. After that then you become immune to the effect of that bayan. So you listen to that bayan 20 minutes, 15 minutes, leave it now. Now read your kalima, la ilaha illallah. You read it, who knows, you read it in abundance. At the time of your death, Allah Pak will allow that kalima to flow easily from your mouth. But you need to have an acquaintance, you need to have a liking. You need to have a muhabbat with the kalima. Right? Now all your time is going, either news, either nazam, either some type of entertainment. And then where are you going to find the time to read kalima? Where are you going to find the time? Ordinary people, you know, ordinary simple people who don't waste their time. Some of them, 40,000, 20,000 kalima they read one day. How they manage, they read the Quran Sharif, they're doing their business, they're doing everything else, but 20,000 kalima they read one single day. How they manage to do it? With the Quran Sharif, with the namaz, with the business, with the family life, everything else, but 20,000, how they manage? Right? One Rahmatullah, he was showing some of his students are doing 150,000 Allahu Allah per day they're doing it. How they found the time? If you don't waste your time, you program your time correctly, utilize your time, then you can also achieve it. In the business now, all the time there aren't customers there. There aren't the clients there that you need to give attention to. In fact, whilst you're working with them, you're reciting La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. You're reciting it. And then it becomes like your system, it becomes part of you. So when you're sleeping also, subconsciously you're reciting La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. Now the chances for you reciting the kalima at the time of your death is much more greater. Because your system has become acquainted to it. And you're reading with the frame of mind, Allah Ta'ala, flush all this wrong. This evil, this haram, this anger that's in me, this lust that is in me. All that, Allah Ta'ala, flush it out. And let your love, illallah, let your love come into my heart. Let it penetrate deep. Let it go right to my system. I must love you. I must talk about you. I must recognize you. My heart must be sab tamannaya rukhsat ho gayi. All everything else must be out of my system. Ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. Now, oh Allah, you come into my heart. You come into my system. I don't want everything else. Just take all that everything away. Let you come into my heart. That's what that shayar says. Allah, Allah, kaisa pyara naam hai. Aashiqo ka meena aur jaam hai. It's such a beautiful name. Such a beautiful Allah, Allah, kaisa pyara naam hai. Such a beautiful name. Just try and love Allah Ta'ala. For His sake, just love Him. And just repeat, would that love, try and repeat His name. Allah, 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 Allah. Kaisa pyara naam hai. Aashiqo ka meena aur jaam hai. When you become in love with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the name of Allah ta'ala is so beautiful to you, so enticing to you. It's more enticing than that wine to that person that is a habitual drinker, addicted to drinking, and how he's fond of his wine. So you will become even more fond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you take His name. This is the property of the name of Allah Ta'ala. The more you take it, the more the love will pulsate within you. Love for Allah Ta'ala, love for His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will increase in you. But then take His name. And take His name with that intention that it is a command of Allah Ta'ala. I'm doing it for His love, that I may get His love. It is His command. And with that intention that if I take His name, inshallah, I will earn His love. That intention. You don't take the name of Allah Ta'ala now. I'll read 100 times, La ilaha illallah, 500 times before I sleep. So I'll see a nice dream. Oh, minds go in stupid directions. I'll see very good dreams, so I'll make wuzu and sleep. If I don't sleep with wuzu, then I won't see a good dream. So let me go and sleep with wuzu, so I'll see a nice dream. Kya faida isme? If you go to see a dream, 5 million dreams you saw, isme aapka kya kaam banega? What are you going to do? What progress are you going to make? No, for the love of Allah Ta'ala. You're reading that La ilaha illallah for His love. You're reciting that La ilaha illallah for His love. Allah, Allah. And you're reciting for His love. And you're reading it for His love because of His command, there's benefit in it. There's progress in it. But if you do it for a dream, nothing. Then you can get it in your dream. Then you can dream for that reward. No reward you get. But you're dreaming for His love, you're reading for His love, for His muhabbat, you're benefiting. All the way you're benefiting. You're going to progress, you're going to benefit. But just change your intention. Intention is just for His love. For His muhabbat, for his love, and for His recognition I'm doing it. I'm not doing it for anything else. Whether I get anything or not, I get a dream or don't get a dream, I'm not worried about it. What I'm concerned about is I need Allah Pak's love. I'm reciting. I'm going to sleep now. Now, instead of thinking of all senseless things, right? Senseless things, useless things, things that not concern me, now I'll think of Allah Ta'ala and sleep. I'll think of Allah Ta'ala and sleep. I'll think of His favors and sleep. Right? Now when you think of Allah Ta'ala and you think of His favors, then you're going to sleep. Allah Pak, in the morning, you got me up. I got my Fajr Namaz. That was your blessing, O Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala, with your blessing, I read Quran Sharif. I made zikr, O Allah Ta'ala. I took your name, O Allah Ta'ala. I'm so fortunate. I'm so thankful to you that you allowed me to take your name. Then O Allah Ta'ala, then I went to business. I didn't do anything haram, O Allah Ta'ala. I went with a good intention. I did halal business. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala gave me barakat in my rozi and you gave me halal business. So all the good things that you enjoyed for the day, Allah Ta'ala, you gave me food. My systems are working. I don't have problem in my digestion. Alhamdulillah. And you're sleeping, thinking of the favors of Allah Ta'ala. When you get up in the morning, you're getting up with nice spirits, happy to start off the day tomorrow. Right? But now you're going to sleep. Yeah, now you're thinking, hey, that person robbed me. And this person here, I need to collect his 10,000 rand from him. And this person here, he is going to take me for a ride. And that business there, I need to go for that business, otherwise I'll get left out. And next morning comes, you're down again. Hey, depressed. This person had me. That person robbed me. He cheated me. So the way you sleep, you'll get up the same way in the following morning. You sleep with good spirits, with love of Allah Ta'ala, with appreciation to Allah Ta'ala. When you get up in the following morning, you'll get up with good spirits, with nice spirits. Happily you'll be happy to start off the day. But you go to sleep, no, that person robbed me, he cheated me, I need to get his money, I need to get this thing here done. So the following morning you're going to get up, you will definitely get up, but with low spirits, low spirit. Right? So we're showing you how to get spirited without taking spirits. You get spirited, but without taking spirits. Other way, you have to go and take spirits to get spirited. Yeah, without taking spirits, you're getting spirited. Free of charge. Think of the favor of Allah. Say, Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me this. Alhamdulillah. Leave alone complaining. This person did this. Shikwa, shikayat ko chhod do. Don't complain. Think about yourself. Mere andar kya kya khami nahi. So the last king of India, Zafar, Shah Zafar, he says, Zafar isko aadmi nahi kahega. Zafar isko aadmi na kahega. Chahe ho wo jitna bhi sahibe fahm o zika. What? Zafar isko aadmi nahi kahega. Chahe wo ho jitna bhi sahibe fahm o zika. Disko khauf mein tesh khuda na aaya. Disko aish mein yaad khuda na aaya. He says, Zafar will never call that person a man. What? Zafar, he's a king now, but a great poet of India. He says, Zafar isko kabhi aadmi nahi kahega, chahe ho wo jitna bhi sahib fahm o zaka. He says, I'll never call that person a man. No matter how intelligent that person may be, how intelligent, how prudent, how wise he may be, jisko teish mein khauf khuda na aaya, in times of difficulties and constraints, he didn't have the fear of Allah Ta'ala. Or jisko aish mein yaad khuda na aayi, and in luxury, in comfort, he never remembered Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So what's the good of his life? In the fear, in constraints and difficulties, he never feared Allah Ta'ala. In comfort and luxury, he never remembered Allah Ta'ala. So what's the good of that person? I'll never call him a man. One place he says, Yeh kahan ka fasana hai, zood o siya. Yeh kahan ka fasana hai, zood o ziya. Jo gaya, so gaya. Jo mila, so mila. Kaho dil se, ke fursate zindagi bohat mukhtasar hai. Jo dila, to muhabbat ilahi dila. He says, what is this whole fight about? Zood o siya, I got so much, I got so less. All day between this, same chakkar. So much I got, so less I got. So much I got and so less I got. He robbed me and he cheated me. Whole day, isi ke andar, ye kahan ka fasana? Where did you pick up this fairy tale? Where did you pick up this fairy tale? Kahan ka fasana hai, zood o ziya? This fairy tale of lot and more. Where did you pick it up from? Jo gaya, so gaya. Jo mila, so mila. What you got, you got. What went away from you, it went away. What you got, make shukar. What went away was not supposed to come your way. So why are you worried about it? Kahan ka fasana hai, sood o siya. Jo mila, so jo gaya, so gaya. Kaho dil se, fursate zindagi bohat mukhtasar hai. Convince your heart that this chance of life is very short. So I see this man passed away. The other day, just 2-3 days ago, he was sitting on his red chair and performing Isha Namaz. And today he went for some business and he passed away. So kaho zindagi, kaho dil se, ke fursate zindagi bohat mukhtasar hai. That this opportunity of life is very short. You convince your heart ke fursate zindagi bahut mukhtasar hai. Convince your heart, hey, this life is very short. Someone is dying. Are you seeing the person dying? That man was here. Just, I remember him sitting here. I met him. I greeted him. And today he went for some work for his family, whatever it was, and he passed away. In the shop, wherever he had gone to, he passed away. Not old man. I think maybe 60 or less than 60 or something, and he passed away. So, kaho dil se ke fursate zindagi bahut kam hai. This opportunity of life is very short. Jo dila, so muhabbat ilahi dila. Allah Ta'ala, bless me with your love. Allah Ta'ala, bless me with your love. Say for example, you didn't get 100 million rand, but you got 100 million love of Allah Ta'ala. Is it worth it or not? Or you didn't get 100 million, you got half a million of love of Allah Ta'ala. Isn't it worth the while? Against 100 million. You got the love of Allah Ta'ala, you got everything. اگر یہ ملا تو سب کچھ مل گیا تو مل گیا تو سماح تو ملا تو سماح ملا زمین ملی فلک ملا if you got Allah Ta'ala you got everything you got the heavens you got the earth everything is all systems are working for you but get Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala first so the way you'll get it one simple way we're talking about today is say the La Ilaha Illallah but say with this frame of mind Allah Ta'ala all these stupid things this nonsense all this is all going to remain behind. I'm fighting for this wealth, money here, that money, that wealth, that property, whatever. Allah Ta'ala is going to remain behind. Whether it was mine justfully or not, but Allah Ta'ala is going to remain behind. Allah Ta'ala, remove this from my system. Let it come out of my system, the system of my family, my system of my friends, so that I don't have to discuss these things all the time. Right? And what is for me, it will come. Definitely you will send it to me. When I'm loving you, I'm showing you muhabbat, Allah Ta'ala, you will send it to me again afterwards. And you showing love to Allah Ta'ala, eventually this must return, must come back to you. What is yours can't go away. La mani ali ma a'tayt, wa la mu'ti ali ma manat. What is for me, it must come my way. What is not meant for me, it can never come my way. So, kaho dil se fursate zindagi bohat mukhtasar. This chance of life is very short, very, very short. You don't know when it's ending up. Today, tomorrow, you don't know. Right? There was that Marhum Ilyas, Muli Ilyas. Young man, 26, 27 years of age. So can you guarantee life? At which time is going to come? For who is going to come? When is it going to come? Healthy man, strong man, fit man, capable, doing a lot of work, everything. But that poor sati, zindagi, went away. That opportunity of life had gone. Now it's gone, finished. One person passed one grave. So Allah allowed him to talk to the inmate of the grave. Whether it was in his dream or whichever way, but Allah allowed him to talk to the inmate of the grave. The inmate of the grave tells him, you know what, just now you passed by my grave and you read one time Subhanallah. So I want to do a bargain with you. I am sitting in this grave here for a couple of years and I have about 60,000 khatams to my credit. How many? 60,000 khatams to my credit I got. In the grave I was reading. You have to have something to pass your time. I'll make khatam of the Quran, say 60,000 times, I mean khatam. And you read one Subhanallah. Give me that one Subhanallah, I'll pass on the credit of 60,000 khatams. What? Give me that one Subhanallah, I will pass on the credit of 60,000 khatams. You see, that after your death you're going to recite, there is no virtue. As long as you're alive, that one Subhanallah is virtuous. That dead person saw the sawab of the one Subhanallah. That pass on the Subhanallah to me, I'll pass on the 60,000 khatam credit to you. I'll pass the credit to you. So this opportunity of life is very precious, very short, very small, very valuable. So leave all these other things. A small, basic effort you have to make is enough. So Allah Ta'ala, let me not get my time, my energies, etc., all absorbed in this type of thing. What is meant for me, it will come. Let me make a short effort, get my stuff in a short mihnat. But my muhabbat, my mind, my heart, my soul, everything is in you. Jo dila, so muhabbat ilahi dila. These are all kings. Zafar Shah is a king. He saw the life. He saw the. He died. When he was defeated eventually by the English. But I want to show you now his the valor of these people. He was defeated. So when he was defeated, in the morning, his two sons, his sons were killed and all that. So the English were serving him with breakfast. They had a covered tray, and the tray was presented before him. So as he removed the cover of the tray, he sees the heads of his two children, two sons, only two sons, and he sees the heads of them. And now look at the immediate response. It says, Alhamdulillah, ye hamare khandani riwayat the, ke hamare shehzade isi tarah se kamyab hokar ke badshah ke samne aate hain. He says, our prince, they come with glorious colors before their father, before the king. They get martyrized and they come before us. So, jo dila, so muhabbat ilahi dila. Leave all these things here. What? Ya zood o ziya, leave these things out. Look for the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. Look for the. I don't say, don't look after your wealth, throw your wealth, don't look after your wealth. But that's not the goal, it's not the objective. Don't die for it, don't pine after it now. Why didn't I get this? Why didn't I get this? Forget it, came, so much came. Didn't come, it didn't come. Just carry on your work. And your work is Allah Ta'ala, right? For that there is no replacement. If you missed out, say 9 o'clock, you missed out some zikr, now you can't do it. For the rest of your life, 9 o'clock on this day of Monday, the last of Ramadan, you'll never get it again. That wealth you can regain again. What's lost you can gain again. But what you lost in the remembrance of Allah, if you missed out Fajr Namaz this morning, for the rest of your life you try and get the Fajr Namaz of Monday morning, you'll never get it. Finish. The time is gone, it's gone. You don't hear the clock turning back. Do you ever hear that? It doesn't turn back. It's gone, it's moved one way. It doesn't turn back. So ask for the right things, ask for the love of Allah Ta'ala. Invest your energy in the right way. Invest it in this way, right? You will have no remorse, you will have no regrets. And after all, just think of the fact that you don't know when is the moment of acceptance. You may say, La ilaha illallah. You're driving to work, coming back from work, right? You in your shop and you sing La ilaha illallah. That one moment may be the acceptance, moment of acceptance. and you just strike it. See? Really, that is what you can call a lucky strike. What? That is what you can call a lucky strike. Because you just hit it straight. But you don't know where it's going to come. You keep on reciting, and one day it will just strike, you'll just strike the luck. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq naseeb kare. This man is saying something. Bilal, get something to drink.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تیری ہر ادا ہے پیاری تیری شان خاک ساری تیری زلف عنبری پر ہو نثار بے قراری تیرے در کی خاک روبی سے ملی ہمیں مسرت تیرے ہر زمیں میں ہے گلاب جیسی نکہت تیرے جلوے حسی سے ہے خمار سب پہ تاری تیری ہر ادا ہے پیاری تیری ہر ادا ہے پیاری
Every deed of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there is love in it. What? There's muhabbat in it. Any work of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, smallest, the miswak that you are doing also, with the muhabbat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yeah? Don't you see someone is mad in love with a woman, right? Youngster. On a hot day, 47 degrees, he's putting on his leather jacket. Don't you see, don't you hear of this type of stupid incidents? Yeah? Say, what? It's not the jacket, it is the person. What he'll say, it is the person. It's too dear to the heart that in spite of the 47 degrees, the jacket reminds me of her. So these are stupid things, these are dirty love. The love of Nabi Sosim is absolutely pure. Absolutely pure. Everything that Miswak was, Nabi Sosim did it, he'll like it. Allah Pak will like it. You're coming to the masjid, coming with the right foot. Nabi Sosim did it. With love for Nabi Sosim, with love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're doing this. Imagine how much of love of Allah Ta'ala you will have in your heart. You're going to the toilet now with the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He walked in with the left. So when you're doing it with love, you're not going to ask too many questions. Why left and right and why must I do it like that? When there is a deficiency in love, then you're going to ask too many questions. Too many questions asking this wisdom and asking that reason is indicative of you being deficient in love. But your heart is filled with love, then you're not going to ask questions. No, Nabi Sallam did it. I'm doing it for love. In his love I'm doing it. In his remembrance I'm doing it. That Sahabi Anas radiallahu ta'ala, he says, I sat and ate with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and it was dodi, what you call it, calabash. And he said, ever since I began to love that calabash. If there was an opportunity for me to say to the house people that you know, this must be prepared, I would say them to prepare this for me. The love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? So, like you fall in love in dirty love, and in dirty love also you don't use your brains. Right? This is pure love, clean love. It will lead you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're reading Durood Sharif also, you're doing it with the love of Nabi Sallam. Nabi Sallam will be receiving my Durood, how happy he will get. I'm taking his name, how happy he will get. The farishtas are conveying salams with my name, my father's name, and how happy he will get. So with the spirit of love you must do it. Teri har ada hai pyari.
تو ہدایتوں کا پیکر تو ہے رحمت مجسم تو ہے زندگی کا رہبر तू दुखे दिलो का मरहम शबो रोज ये दुआए कोई रहे न जाए नारी तेरी हर अदा है प्यारी तेरी हर अदा है प्यारी
इसे तू है दुखे दिलो का मरहम. The one whose heart is grieved, right? The one whose heart is grieving, is ailing, right? You are the relief, you are the relief, you are the soothing effect for that heart that is paining. Right? One genuine way to get relief and to get happiness in the heart, when you're struck with tragedy and when you're struck with calamity, is to think to yourself that there wasn't a greater tragedy that this ummah had suffered than the tragedy of Rasulullah from leaving this world. Can there be a greater tragedy? So when you think of the Nabi Muhammad leaving this world, every tragedy is small. Kullu musibatin ba'daka jaladu. Every musibat, when I think of you, then every musibat is small, is insignificant. So musibat and calamities will come, difficulties in business, naqsim min al-amwali wal-anfusi wal-thamarat, in wealth, in children, in property, etc. All these things will come. But then, what should the Muslim do? Muslim must think that after the Nabi Sallam, every musibat is small, insignificant. He must take relief, he must take ease and comfort in the remembrance of Nabi Sallam. But for that, you need to build that love for Nabi Sallam.
Tu sakhawato kamar kaza Tu hai anbiya ka khatam Tu sharafato ka madan Ho durood tujh pe har dam Teri zaat unchi phir bhi Teri shaan inki saari Teri har ada hai pyari Teri har ada hai pyari.
He says, tu hai sharafato ka maadan. All respect, all honor, all nobility. You are the center of all nobility. You are the center, the very, very center, the very base for all nobility, respect and honor. You hear, all of us, we hear, that they write about the 100 most popular persons in the world. Everybody are unanimous, they agreed that it is Nabi Sallam that is the most popular, most respectable, in spite of them being kafirs of the worst order. But they are forced to admit that there isn't a person as popular, respectable and honorable than Nabi Sallam. Have we got it on the plate? Can there be anybody more wretched than us? I mean, we don't appreciate this Nabi Sallam. Can there be any person worse off than us? So that love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that muhabbat, tu hai sharafato ka maadan. We need to understand. See, when we in our cubicle, when we are all alone, you know, in seclusion, we think about this. So, very great words. What? They are very great words. Tu hai sharafato ka maadan. It may be simply being recited, very simply, but the meaning behind it is very great. Tremendous meanings behind it.
Tu sataisho ke qabil tera zikr mera fan hai mere dil ki dhadkanon mein shab o roz moojizan hai teri yaad ki jawani se dilon ki abyari teri har ada hai pyari teri har ada hai pyari.
Someone had seen Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam speaking about the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, and he has been posted to the greatest person of the Ummah at the time, right? And some of the reasons is the kitab that he had written on Durood Sharif. And the fact that he used to recite the poetry on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, prepared by Qasim Saab Nanotvi Rahmatullahi, and Sayyid Ahmad Rifai. He would recite it, or his ma'mul on a Thursday night, he would recite this. This to enhance the muhabbat. See, one is to have qawwali and all that, and then miss out the Fajr namaz, that's stupidity, right? One is that you recite this, you enhance the muhabbat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You increase your Durood Sharif. Reading 100 Durood Sharif, make it 500 Durood Sharif. You're enhancing your muhabbat. You're doing it, why? You're doing it so that you feel like practicing the sunnah. Or Nabi Sam did it like this, he wore the kurta like this, I want to do it like this. To enhance that muhabbat. Or he wore the turban, or whatever it is. I will wait, no matter who laughs at me. To enhance that spirit, so you're reciting it with that niyat. Not with the niyat of qawwali and entertainment. No. Don't ever do it for Nabi Sassam is not meant for entertainment. He is a Nabi that is alive. All the Anbiya alayhi salam are alive. So we have that faith, that love, that type of respect. And the respect is the cornerstone of our iman. So this is recited so that the muhabbat, the respect, and the love and the dedication towards Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is enhanced, it's improved. Not for entertainment purposes. Not that we get entertained and cheered up. No, not because of that.
Zara dekh lo Madina, yaha rehmaton ke badal, ye tilawaton ki mehfil, ye ibadaton ki manzil, koi ro raha hai pyara, ye durood lab pe chari, teri har ada hai pyari, teri har ada hai pyari.
When the person will inculcate this love, and now he has to come to Madina Munawara, right? So his time will not be going gallivanting the bazaars, looking for this shopping mall, looking for that price. That's not going to be the cornerstone in his life. In his visit to Madina Munawara, he's not going to go for a soccer tournament in Madina Munawara. His whole outlook will be different. Hazrat Maulana Qasim Sahib Nanotvi Rahmatullahi, when he came to Medina with that spirit, for approximately 10 kilometers away from Medina, his heart was pulsating with that type of love that he couldn't wear his shoes. He went barefoot to Medina Munawara, pulsating with that level of muhabbat. Understand? So, when that muhabbat will be enhanced, the muhabbat will be increased, then you'll find this type of conduct, this type of attitude. You will go there, you'll appreciate. One buzurg, one had come to Madina Munawara, and he sat in the company of Maulana Badri Alam Sahib Rahmatullahi. So, Maulana Badri Alam Sahib Rahmatullahi called him, he saw the pious and righteous features in this person here. So he got talking to him and all that. And he began to frequent Mawlana's majlis after Asr. As we know, in Makkah, Medina, the duration between Asr and Maghrib is quite long. They read the Asr namaz earlier than us. So the time between Asr and Maghrib is quite long. So Mawlana asked him one day that, I didn't see you yesterday, what happened? He said, no, yesterday I went to the Souq al-Tamar, to the Khajur market. I'm leaving back for home, so I thought, let me take the khajur and go. So Mawlana told him that had I only been young and I had not been bedridden, I am bedridden, I can't walk. Had I not been bedridden, I would have taken you personally to the khajur market. And I would have told you, buy this khajur here, buy this khajur here. And perhaps, possibly, that khajur may be taken back to India, and someone may say, ah, ye Madina ka khajur. And that may be the means of my maghfirat. So, when we recite these things here, as I say, it's not just entertainment. It's not just to cheer up. It's to enhance our muhabbat. So that we, when we go to Madina Munawwara, we're going in a different spirit. In a different... Our outlook is different. Our heart is different. We're looking at things differently. We're not looking at the bazaars there, at the malls, at the shops and what's happening there. Our whole focus is something else.
میں کیا کہوں صحابہ شہد و جہاں کے پیارے وہی آ رہے نبی کے وہی دین کے ستارے ہے بلند ان کا رتبہ وہ قرآن کے تھے قاری تیری ہر ادا ہے پیاری تیری ہر ادا ہے پیاری.
So when we have that frame of mind, now sometimes we are spending the time in the Rozay Mubarak, we're reciting Durood Sharif Salam. Then we're getting out of the Rozay Mubarak, we're going to Jannatul Baqi. And calling back all those memories of the Sahaba Ikram, their glorious past. See? So this is how we're going to spend the time in Madina Munawwara. Sometimes at the Rozay Mubarak. Sometimes at the Baqi. Meeting this Sahabi, going to Shuhada'i Uhud, we're meeting the Sahaba Kiram there. But all this requires that we enhance this muhabbat. This muhabbat must increase.
Isi ummate nabi ko kahi lag gayi hai nazare جو تھی ایک کلر رہی ہے یہی آ رہی ہے خبرے کبھی ایک پٹ رہا ہے کبھی دوسرے کی باری تیری ہر ادا ہے پیاری تیری ہر ادا ہے پیاری.
The reason for this dissension and discord in this ummah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was inviting us towards unity. The hearts must be united. The ummah must be a single nation. We mustn't be divided. Right? So the reason is that we moved away from the sunnah. This way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam we moved away from. If we come back to that way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not only in practice, but from within our hearts as well, what was his outlook, what was his conduct, then we will come back to that unity, that united way, that way where I love you, I love for you what I would love for myself. And then the reason for the split, there will be no reason for split, there will be no reason for us being divided. But the reason for us being divided is this, that we have moved away from the sunnah, this glorious way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Tera naam hai Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Tera naam hai Muhammad. Teri madhate mera fan. ہو نثار تجھ پہ آقا meri shairi ki dharkan hai raza ki bas tamanna tere deep pe jaani sari teri har ada hai pyari teri har ada hai pyari. ऐसे रहे या तो वैसे रहे वहाँ देखना है कैसे रहे ऐसे रहे या तो वैसे रहे वहाँ देखना है कैसे रहे इस दार में जिसको दुनिया कहे उस दार में जिसको उकबा कहे ऐसे रहे या तो ऐसे रहे वहाँ देखना है कैसे रहे.
This world, yeah. Life is gonna come to an end.
Really, we're in a problem. It has to be understood. We have to be certain that it's coming to an end. There's no two ways about it. People before us went, and we'll have to also leave. So if we have this deeply rooted in our minds, that this is just a temporary phase, no matter how we live, in poverty or in riches, but it's going to end. The actual criteria is the hereafter, how we fare there. This is just a temporary phase. Some person is in wealth, other is in poverty, someone is in riches, someone is in rags, someone is in honor, and someone is in disgrace. Whatever the case may be, but he's leaving. No matter what it is, but he is leaving. And the criteria is the hereafter, how does he fare there? So if this is rooted into our hearts all the time, then to be able to cope with these situations is very easy. But now you see, no, I didn't get this much, and I didn't get this, and I didn't get this. Why I wasn't recognized? Why didn't I become popular? Why didn't I get this type of wealth? Then this life becomes more and more difficult, complicated. But we think, no, it's just a short phase. The journey will be over just now. We have all boarded the train, and the journey will end just now. Whether I'm in the third class, whether I'm in the first class or the second class, whether I'm getting that first class treatment or the second class treatment, but it's coming to an end just now. Really, I need to see what I will get at the station that we're stopping. So if your mind is focused correctly, then it's easy to undertake this journey. But now, if all the time you're complaining only about your journey, and you're not concerned about your goal and your destination, obviously, you're living in a fool's paradise. So you have to convince your mind that this is coming to an end. Shortly, it's coming to an end. With difficulty, with cheers or tears, what? With cheers or tears, this thing is coming to an end. Whichever way, sometime with cheer, sometime with tear, but it's coming to an end. So you have to convince your mind that this is going to happen. It's going to happen, it's coming to an end. So the cheers, the tears will change into cheers. But if you say, why didn't this happen to me, and why didn't I get this, and why didn't it happen, then you will ever be in tears. So the way to come into cheers all the time is to convince yourself it's coming to an end, and at the end you will get all that what we are desirous of, what we are looking forward to, what we are anticipating. We'll get everything. So why worry so much about these things that we missed, and we couldn't get, or someone robbed us and someone cheated us, whatever it was. So why do we overwork ourselves?
Duniya se jana jayenge hum, duniya mein rehkar marenge sabhi, jannat mein jaakar dekhenge hum, hoore sharabe khatam bhi nahi, aise rahe ya to aise rahe, waha dekhna hai kaise rahe. Aapas mein ladna zeba nahi, aapas mein ladna munasib nahi, aapas mein ladna zeba nahi, aapas mein ladna munasib nahi, har aadmi mein kotahiya, maafi talafi yahi zindagi, har aadmi mein kotahiya, maafi talafi yahi zindagi.
Weaknesses, who doesn't have? All of us have weaknesses, right? Someone have bigger baggages of weaknesses, some have smaller. But now if I'm going to always look at your weakness and you're always going to look at my weakness, it's not going to take us anywhere. You looking at my weakness will not take you anywhere. It's not going to increase your sawabs. It's not going to make you any better in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. And myself looking at your weaknesses is not going to increase my thoughts in any way. So then the wise thing is to look what will get me an increased martaba in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Right? If I'm going to put you down, or you robbed me and you cheated me and you did this to me, right? Even though I'm justified, I'm right for what I'm saying, but in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, it's not going to bring me any type of status. It's not going to bring me closer to Allah Ta'ala. I'm not going to get any favor in the sight of Allah Ta'ala in trying to prove you guilty and proving myself innocent. I'm not going to get me anywhere. So the more prudent, more sensible thing to do is, what is going to get me closer to Allah Ta'ala? Let me work towards that. The thing that is going to get me closer to Allah Ta'ala is forgiveness. Allah Pak has forgiven my son also. Simply put, you account for yourself from the time that you know yourself, from the age of 13 till now. What wrong didn't you do? Forget the wrong that you did. What wrong didn't you do? Ask ourselves that, what wrong didn't I do? My eyes, what wrong didn't I do? With my ears, what wrong didn't I do? With my tongue, which wrong didn't I do? With my body, which wrong didn't I do? And with my mind, what wrong didn't I fantasize? Now you think about these things here, and then you think, hey, what a really, really stupid things I have done, man. The worst things I have done. Allah Pak has covered me. He has protected my honor. Now these people here that have robbed me, they also belong to Allah Pak. I have cheated Allah Pak, right? I have robbed. I have wronged. And with all that, Allah has forgiven me. He has forgiven me. Now these people that have wronged me, they also belong to Allah Ta'ala. Who do they belong to? They don't belong to anybody else. They belong to Allah Ta'ala. So if I could wrong Allah Ta'ala, I could cheat and I could wrong, yet He has covered me, then these people belong to Allah Ta'ala. Can't I cover them as well? Like He has covered me, can't I cover them? وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Forgive and forget. Don't you like Allah Ta'ala to forgive you? See? You anticipate, you long for forgiveness. You long that Allah Ta'ala must forgive you, must overcome you, must wipe out all your past records, right? Allah Ta'ala will do that. But I ask you, that are you prepared to forgive your brethren for the wrong that they have done, small, big, the weaknesses? Are you prepared to do it? They say about Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, we speak about him so highly, right? But then you see the qualities of these people here, what level of forgiveness they had. what level they used to pardon people. One person came and smacked Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi in the presence of all his senior students, where he was held in high esteem and respect. He came and smacked Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi. Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi says that if I want to retaliate, I can. I got the strength to exercise my will and retaliate to the extent that you have hurt me. I've got the strength. And if I want, these people are here, they can exact the punishment on my behalf. And if I want, the third option is, I can imprison you, because they're all my witnesses that you have wronged me. They're all my witnesses. And if I want, then I can curse you, because I'm an innocent party and you are guilty of oppression. And the dua of the oppressed is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I can make dua against you. Right? But all these four ways I won't adopt. I won't retaliate. I won't ask these people to retaliate on my behalf. I won't sue you for what you have done. Apart from suing you, I won't even curse you. But yes, there is a fifth option. On the day of Qiyamah, if and ever Allah Ta'ala does forgive me. Now look at the man, and what his martaba is, and what he says, if and ever Allah Ta'ala does forgive me and admits me into Jannah, then I will tell Allah Ta'ala, not without you. Now this is the heart that we need to have. Allah Ta'ala, if you